Ephesians chapter 2, commencing then from the verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, for with he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll end the reading there. We know that the Lord's blessed. Direct your attention for a few moments this morning. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. With God's word before, there is a great deal of confusion among church groups regarding the true nature of conversion, how we are justified in God's sight. And there are many who will place great emphasis upon the works of man. Undoubtedly, all have heard the excuses at one time or another, I'm not really a bad person. I've never done anything to harm anyone. I go regularly to my church. I'm faithful in my giving, and the list goes on and on and on. Of course, we know today that Rome places great stress upon the importance and the value of good works, that this is and presents a level of acceptability before God. However, they aren't alone in their theology. Episcopalianism is similar. And I think that I've just grounds to express that because I myself was brought up as a Church of Ireland. And I do remember well what was taught from the pulpit, although I don't think listen to too many perhaps, but it was all a message of do your best and you'll be all right. And that was how that as a young man that I grew up, that was what I believed. That if I would do my best, that would somehow be all right. This belief, of course, has also tainted the views of many cultish groups that are prevalent among society today. We could speak of the Jehovah's Witnesses, we could speak of the Seventh-day Adventists, we could even speak of Islam, because when you analyze the religion, it is a religion of works. Lurking beneath the shadows of all of these groups is the teaching of the merit of good works to inherit eternal life. But of course, such notions are banished in light of Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. There was a certain Mr. Jones who said, you may as well try to cross the Atlantic in a paper boat as to get to heaven on good works. However, there is an error equally as great on the side of Christendom. The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And the verse 10 explicitly denotes for us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, we are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. And that is the error in the Church of God today. Yes, because there is so much emphasis, so much talk about good works. What do? We stand back. We stand aloof of this. We do not want to be tainted with that. For example, if a church or a denomination is exclusively singing psalms, it is perhaps incumbent upon others. We think we don't want to be tainted with that vestige, with that word, so we will refrain from singing psalms. And my friend, we can apply this into the religion of works. When there is so much in the world based upon good works, do good works, that what does the church do? We stand back from them. And we do not want to involve or engage ourselves in good works. And I say that that is a gross error. And may I reiterate what I said moments ago? We are not saved by good works, but we are saved unto good works. Turn over in your Bible for a moment to James. James chapter 2. Listen to the verse 14. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And verse 20, "What wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" So what is James teaching? Well, here it is very simple. This is a demonstration of our faith by our works. You cannot separate the two. That brings us right into our text in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Which reminds us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I believe that in a nutshell, this verse is teaching us that we are the workmanship of God. And that is what we want to consider for a few moments this morning, the workmanship of God in the life of every believer. There are a number of things that we should notice here. And I trust that God will write His word upon our hearts. Firstly, that we are a product of His workmanship. We are a product of His workmanship. Now, if you're referring to us as a product, of course, we are not seeking to demean ourselves or to undervalue our worth before God. No. But rather, we thus embark upon an accurate statement as to our true relationship before God. You see, if we isolate this verse 10, and very often this verse is forsaken, this verse is forgotten. Frequently, men and women and preachers will quote the verses 8 and 9, but how many will quote verse 10? And yet, may I say this, these three verses, the verses 8, 9 and 10 of Ephesians 2, are all part and parcel the one of the other. They cannot be divorced the one from the other. I think we could describe them as the elements or the garments of a three-piece suit. Now, of course, today I don't have a three-piece suit, as you can all see. And I know a man one time who told me, he says, if you don't have a three-piece suit, well, you're not attired correctly. Well, perhaps he was right. Because here, well, this is really the garments of a three-piece suit. And the verse 10 cannot be isolated, because if it is, it leaves some doubt to the fact as to who created us. Because the verse says, literally it opens that statement, for His workmanship we are. We must ask the question, whose workmanship are we? Of course, the answer is very simple. It is God's. For His workmanship we are. We are God's. In itself, this statement is highly significant. And of course, it abolishes the fallacy of pride entering into the heart. May it be understood today in the house of God that it was God who chose us, not we ourselves. With the words of McShane in that lovely hymn, chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified. It was God who chose us, not because of any good which He saw in us, but solely out of mercy and love. And therefore adoption hangs on and proceeds from God's choosing us. That removes pride. It abolishes that. And it also abolishes presumption, because men think that they had a hand in their redemption. That half of the work was God's and that the remainder was man's. Now, I'm not saying that man does not have a responsibility. Of course he does. That is a side issue. That can be removed from the point of this moment. It is nonsense to say that half of salvation is man's and the other half is God's responsibility. That is untrue. We could put it this way as an example. Can a dead man speak? Can a dead man do anything? You can stick a pin in a dead man. You can strike a dead man. But he's dead. It is the Spirit that regenerates. It is the Spirit of God that breathes in life. And that soul becomes a living soul. Spiritually speaking, we are dead. But by the faith breathed into us by the Spirit of God, we trusted His grace to pardon. And from beginning to end, His workmanship we are. Do you see, we are a product of His workmanship. But how did we become His workmanship? How did we become a product of His workmanship? Well, verse 10 tells us, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, the word created there has various meanings. But primarily the word created means to make habitable or to people. And of course, our minds are drawn to John 1 and the verse 3. Let me quote it for you. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And of course that is with relation to everything in life. But this reference, it only in part answers the question. Indeed, my friend, there is a very clear message derived from the language of the word created. And it means the statement. It can be read as a matter-of-fact statement. This is how it was, not a process, but an action. We were created. We were raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life in a moment. Not a process. I remember one time being in a youth camp and just in the dormitory, they were talking the one to the other and they were relating how that they came to faith in Christ. And I remember one young man put it this way. He says, for me, it just seemed to happen. In other words, he seemed to say it was just like a process. My friend, I don't believe that for one moment. For example, if you were in the river and you'd fall into the river,
and someone threw you a lifeline because you couldn't swim when you were drowning, you would remember that. You'd remember that day. You'd remember that hour. You may forget the date. You may forget the person who threw you that lifeline. But you certainly would not forget the circumstances. And that person's relation to anything in life, been rescued. My friend, as a sinner, we were rescued from the clutches of hell. And we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is the word here, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There is the agent of it. There is the one who brought it about, who made us holy, who redeemed us and washed us from our sins. The answer is Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And it goes on to expound, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And we could take that word grace in the verse 8 and the word gift in the verse 8. Because both of these point to Christ. We often take the word grace and we apply it. God's riches at Christ's expense. We often take the word gift and we apply it that Christ is the gift of God. And so He is. But He is the agent, my friend. Salvation could never be wrought. Salvation could not have been provided lest Christ Jesus died on the cross. You see, all we're saying is building up to this thing that we are a product of His workmanship. Not ourselves, not anything that we have done, not anything in us. God did not see anything in us good enough to merit eternal salvation. It's all of grace. It's all of His goodness, of His mercy, of His kindness, of His long-suffering. The gift of salvation. There was only one access, and that was through the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. There is a way to the Lord from the dark paths of sin. And anyone approaching and seeking eternal redemption must come through Christ by faith. Of course, my friend, all I'm seeking to build up here is to lay a foundation and to show you in the first instance that we are a product of His workmanship. And then secondly, notice our privileged position due to His workmanship. Again, coming to our text there in the verse 10, it says, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Notice the preposition in, created in Christ Jesus. There is our privileged position. You know, the book of Ephesians itself is inundated with references to our position in Christ. Chapter 1 and the verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And there, that verse is speaking of untold blessings which are ours in Christ. That is the privileged position of one who is in Christ. Untold blessings. Look at verse 7 of the chapter 1. In whom? That is, in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There is redemption, it is found in Christ, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And we can thank and praise the God that there is forgiveness of sins. Yes, forgiveness of sins. Not that we have to go and pray or require it weekly or monthly or yearly. But my friend, we have forgiveness of sins in Christ. This is a blessing and a privilege of the position of being in Christ. Look at verse 11 of Ephesians 1. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What is that verse speaking of? It is talking about heaven, the rest that is provided for the people of God. Those who are in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. It's found in Christ, in Him alone. Of course, in the book of Ephesians, it speaks of Christ's body, and in the verse 23 of the opening chapter, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We could speak of the body of Christ in mystery. If you glance there in the end of chapter 2, the verses 20 through to 22, just we'll view the verse 22 for the sake of time. It says, In whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. And if you read the verse 21, it just helps to highlight, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. There is our building. We are Christ's in body. In the verse 23 of the chapter 1, and here in these verses, we are His building, and that is in majesty. If you glance over to the chapter 5 and to the verse 23, we can see that we are the bride of Christ in marriage. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. You see, this is all our privileged position due to His workmanship. Because we are saved, because we are sanctified. All these are our untold privileges. And yes, I say privileges, because they are. We could say with the hymn writer, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. This privileged position is unique because not all of Adam's helpless race were chosen. Chapter 1 in the verse 4 tells us, according as He hath chosen us. Look at that. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world were set. We were chosen. That is humbling, but it specifies our privileged position that it is unique. My friend, we could say again that it is in union. What a great truth that is. Chapter 2 and the verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And of course the word with Christ specifies our union in Christ. That is where the child of God is today. He is in Christ. And may I say that to you, child of God, whatever your state is, your physical, your mental state, if you are saved and seeking to walk with the Lord, you are in Christ. There is union between you and the Lord. And as our brother Trevor was saying in the talk to the little ones, you cannot be His friend unless you talk with Him. It is all part and partial of our union with Christ. But this privileged possession is unto. It is unto good works, as verse 10 tells us of chapter 2, the verse of our text. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Unto good works. Salvation is not the end of the matter. When a person is saved, that does not mean that they can rest on their laurels. That everything is accomplished. No. Right now, my friend, you become an ambassador for Christ. From the very day and the hour that God saved you, you become His ambassador. Not just those who are to the fore in the work, i.e. the minister, or one who is evangelizing in the streets. You cannot just simply pass yourself by and say, well, that's the work for him, that's the work for her. They can go, they can do that. I'm exempt. We are workers together with Him. Every single born again, blood washed soul is saved, is created unto good works. Every single one of us should be good Samaritans in that sense of the word. Wearsby said, it is not enough to say that we have faith. We must demonstrate this faith by our works. Remember, the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. The Lord Jesus Christ teaching in the mountain, Matthew 5 verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. But is that the end of the matter? No. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we're to do good works. Yes, because God has told us, but fundamentally because it's to His glory. We're not doing it for ourselves. Or at least I hope not. We should be doing it unto the Lord. And so firstly we notice that we are the product of His workmanship. Secondly we notice our privileged position due to His workmanship. And then thirdly and finally, our prerogative due to His workmanship. Our prerogative. What is our prerogative? We have been building up to the point where we recognize our responsibility toward His workmanship in us. And what does the Lord require of us in turn? For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise Him. Are you praising the Lord? For all the Lord has done for me, no sacrifice is too great for me to do for Him, is it? Of course, our prerogative due to His workmanship is good works. Verse 10 tells us, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These good works, they are ordained of God. In other words, these works which are yet to be performed, they have always been in the mind of God. That's the amazing thing. They were prepared. They were thought out before time itself. Now that is amazing, a mind-boggling thing perhaps. If you turn back to Romans 9 for a moment, you will glean something of this truth in Romans 9, the verse 23. It says, and that He might make known the riches of His glory in the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Do you see that? Here are vessels of mercy. Here are those that God has chosen to be vessels of honor, which He had afore prepared unto glory. Do you see that? Meaning to make ready beforehand. And the important thing for us to observe here is this, that we do not manufacture these good works, but rather they are the results of the work of God in the heart. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, the verse 13 tells us, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Do you see that? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This means that God has a plan for our lives, and that we should walk in his will and fulfill his plan. The prerogative due to his workmanship, they are ordained of God. But what is our determination to them? That we should walk in them. That we should regulate our lives accordingly. That we should conduct oneself along the ways of God and in the way that he has foreordained. In other words, every morning we wake up, we should say, "Lord, what have you in store for me today? Lead me in thy path. Lead me to some soul today." Just heard Brother Stanley Barnes talking with Alan Kearns the other day in the house, and they were, well, a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about our brother Albert McCauley in Ballymoney. And Albert would tell the story of countless souls that he led to the Lord, but he will tell you of his preliminary preparation, that he would not leave the house until he knew that God had led him along a particular path. See, my friend, all these things are leading up to this one truth, that we must walk according to the pattern and the plan which our God has ordained for us. May we walk in the light as he is in the light. And may God further his plan in our lives. May you work today for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll just sing a verse or two of a hymn. Apologize for that, but...